This hour of the Mornings with Ed show is brought to you by WealthWise Financial Services, wealth management redefined. And with that said, it's 8:01, and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted, as we are each and every Wednesday morning, to talk about the economy, things happening up and down the economy. President and CEO of WealthWise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert, with us this morning. Good morning, Laureen.
Good morning. Good morning, Ed.
How are you?
Great, thank you.
Great to have you this morning. Thank you for coming in and spending some time with us. You and I and the audience have been talking for some time about an adjustment, a correction. And I'm finding out that I think the question is the economy doing well or not? I found that retail sales were down 1.9% in December. And I'm thinking, maybe I'm wrong, but December should be one of our better months for retail sales.
Yes, yeah, so retail sales is one of the things that we monitor. But what happened this year, or meaning last year, is that with the supply chain issues, people actually shopped early. So the numbers earlier in the shopping season were better than what we saw in December. Not a big surprise, because people did their shopping more in November than they did in December. So it's still, when you look at the year, right, comparing 2020 to 2021, up 19.3% for the year.
Okay. All right. So good numbers all around, really.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But do you want me to speak about the volatility that we've been seeing?
I wouldn't mind if you would.
Yeah, because, we get a lot of calls, and I call them my nervous Nellies. I know exactly who's going to call me, exactly who's going to email me. And it's a common thread of, I had one investor say, she wants to deposit money, but she doesn't want to lose any money. And so, that's where people, when our things are in sale everywhere else, but when it comes to the markets, when the markets are on sale, no one wants to buy. If it's, your favorite department store and things are on sale, people want to rush and buy. But when the stock market's on sale, people run the other way. People actually want to wait until prices are higher, which, remember the old adage, buy low, sell high. And so what the real concern is, Ed, around investors right now, is people are afraid it's going to keep going down, 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 down. And people need to be concerned about that if we were going into recession. However, everything that we see is that we're not going into recession. And what we're seeing right now is that the markets are finally pricing in the Fed rate hikes. And this is typical of what happens before the Fed starts raising rates. And then once they actually start raising rates, which we think is going to be March, the markets kind of settle into the new reality. The other issue is that we probably have more rate increases this year than we thought last year. And so the market is adjusting to that. But let me just tell you, we see lots of opportunities in the markets. We see this as a buying opportunity, not a selling opportunity.
Okay. And let me ask you about the Fed raising rates. Is that, are we looking at them raising rates once each quarter moving forward?
Yes, I think that what we're looking for is the Fed to maintain a pace, that they start raising rates and they do it 25 basis points at a time. If they have to increase that to 50 basis points at any one time, there will be more market volatility. But if the Fed kind of stays on course of what they've been saying and 25 basis points at a time, I think the markets can adjust to that.
Okay. I'm reading this morning that Goldman Sachs is now calling for oil prices to hit $100 a barrel later this year and continue rising into 2023. And of course, that signals to the rest of us, with the exception of those of us with electric vehicles, that we're going to be paying more at the pump. Where's the line that we should, or that we will draw before we push more for renewable energy sources? And at what point can oil stop? I mean, where do you see a ceiling for oil prices?
Well, it's all about having the supply of oil, and we no longer have the energy independence that we did. And when we had energy independence, oil prices were low. And now that we don't, oil prices have gone up. And the reality, like you and I have talked about before, there's no quick fix. There's not a button that we can push or snapping of the fingers, and all of a sudden, everything's renewable energy. That's not the way things work. We're still very dependent upon oil, and that's going to take a long time. So we need to have supply. And if we had the supply and the energy independence, prices would go down. And unfortunately, I don't see this stopping for a while. The oil prices will continue to go up. And unfortunately, that hurts some of the most vulnerable people, or the people where, you know, paying that extra money at the gas pump is eating into their other items like food. And so we know that food and energy have been greatly increasing with those inflationary pressures. So it, you know, for now, that is where we stand until we have more supply.
Right. I used to never be able to even envision $100 a barrel. And now I find that I have to have adjusted my ceiling. Is there, when you sit down and you kick back and think about it, is there a ceiling, do you think?
Well, what I'm saying, Ed, is this is all policy. You know, this is all policy at the federal level. It's the administration's policies that have gotten us into this place. And the administration has a way to change it. But, just like anything, supply and demand, there are no ceilings.
Right. Okay. Federal Trade Commission is reviewing federal guidelines for mergers. What's the danger or financial ramifications of concentrated markets that are just way too concentrated?
Yeah. So the FTC is asking for public inquiry and public comment on this issue of mergers, recognizing that it can hurt small businesses when it comes to monopolies being created. So an example of this, a company that's, in a sense, you know, will probably be looked at is a company like Amazon that, you know, and Amazon as a company has done a lot of great things. Look at the performance of that stock. Look at what it's done in the past. Of course, past performance is no indication of future performance. Right. So it's a stock that has grown. It's a company that has grown. But many people are concerned about small businesses no longer being able to compete because of Amazon's presence. So those are the kinds of things that the FTC and the Justice Department will be looking at to try and protect not only small business, but consumers as well.
Okay. All right. I've heard this morning, and I mentioned it to you off air, that a number I couldn't believe I'm hearing, 44% of Americans, only 44% of Americans, have $1,000 of disposable emergency income if an emergency were to happen today, for instance. What does that number tell you?
Was a shocking number, Ed, and I had not heard it before you told me about it. And it tells me that if somebody, you know, for the average American, if a major issue happens, for instance, a car that breaks down and the transmission goes out, or a HVAC system and your home goes out. If something large like that happens, then that says that many Americans do not have the money in order to pay for that. And that's troubling. And so, you know, especially as we look at what I call the wealth effect, which has been created for many Americans of feeling really good about their finances, of owning their home and the home prices going up and, you know, looking at the markets and what the markets have done. But it shows that there's still many, many vulnerable people in our society who are not financially prepared for a major emergency. And so, you know, but But the other statistic is that, that's a better number than it was.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a little bit of a silver lining, but it still says there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, it's the best number in 8 years. It's still unreasonably low. I asked you off air if you didn't mind me asking you a super pedestrian question, and I appreciate you answering it. I found out, of course, we all know Microsoft announced plans to acquire Activision Blizzard in a deal worth nearly $70 billion. And we know that gaming is going through the roof. We know that these gaming companies are amazing, and it can only get better as the technology gets better. So I think my question is gaming in general, is that like this super shiny, way too risky thing that we've all got our eyes on right now?
Well, it was, you know, it's an interesting announcement by Microsoft, and a couple of comments on this. The video game industry is on a growth trajectory. And one of the reasons is that it's going now into mobile gaming and handheld gaming, allowing the industry to break into new demographics. So with that, if we look at mobile game industry, it generates approximately $90 billion annually. And, you know, and that was non-existent before the iPhone. So just, you know, in a relatively short amount of time, it's grown to be a mammoth industry. And so with that, Microsoft already has Game Pass, which costs $15 a month. And it's grown from 18 million subscribers a year ago to now 25 million with $4.5 billion in recurring revenue. And so what everybody's looking for is how can we increase recurring revenue? And that is part of what Microsoft was interested in with the Activision purchase.
Okay. All right. Last week, tell us about the market sell-off that happened last week. What does it mean? What are we seeing going forward?
Yeah. So the market sell-off is not unexpected. You've heard me talk about it quite a bit, that we were expecting, you know, a pullback in the market and expecting that there would be opportunities in that. Like I said, not a recession. And so, you know, we see that as a buying opportunity. What we're seeing too is I do think if you look year-to-date numbers, value is outperforming growth. And growth is in the negative. Really what's been hit when it comes to the markets recently are those companies that saw a huge surge and that were reliant upon low interest rate environment. And we talked last week about duration risk when it comes to equities, and that's what's been hit. And so once again, I think that we had a similar instance at the beginning of last year. It was more like in February that we saw that happening. And so we think it's going to be somewhat similar, but we think this time value is going to continue to be the winner, meaning last year, you know, growth started out and then value took over and then growth again took over. This may be the year that it truly becomes that value market that we've been talking about with that overweight to value.
Excellent. Always a great conversation. Laureen, how do our listeners find you?
949-748-1177.
WealthWiseFinancial.com. My apologies, Laureen. as always, thank you so much for spending this time with us, and always a great conversation. Always, Laureen, thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Thank you. This hour of the Mornings with Ed show brought to you by WealthWise Financial Services, Wealth Management Redefined. It's the Mornings with Ed show. Money, 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 money.